Okay. The shiur is entitled, I don't remember, anybody remember?
Alone with my father.
Alone with my father,
thank you.
Today we will be discussing what it means to be alone with our father. I mean, Judah Mishal alluded to it a little bit a few minutes ago, for many minutes. I'm going to be a little bit shorter, but I think it's something that we could all really gain from. I want to start off with a story, not a story, but a vision that I have from about four or five years ago that I want to share with you. And whenever I go back to this shul, not on my side of the ocean, the other side of the ocean, I always just remember, have this picture. And it's a little bit of a turnoff, but I want to share it with you. I walked into shul one day in shul X. I'm not going to tell you where it is. I don't want to offend the person when he hears it, if he hears it. There's an older man, he walks into the shul, and I'm sitting there ready, getting ready for Shacharit, and he walks in, has his leather case, going back about 5 years ago, a leather case. He comes up into shul, he's one of the members of the shul, he walks in, he goes onto the bima, which is a smaller shul, he goes into the bima, places the leather case on the bima, proceeds to open it up, and to press the button. And he picks up the what is now a tablet, which I had no idea what it was. I was coming from Eretz Yisrael. It was an iPad of sorts. And he comes and he opens up this iPad, turns on the button, and he starts to daven. What is this guy doing? I've never seen this before. Literally, I've never seen it before. I didn't know what he was doing. And I see that he's davening. Okay? He's davening. I start davening, but I can't help, you know, looking at this guy, seeing this phenomenon going on in front of me where he's davening off a computer screen. Never seen it before. And I think to myself, as I'm looking at him during davening, it was a little bit of a distraction. To be honest with you, if I'm looking at him and I'm watching him daven, okay, he's davening, but he's enjoying it a little bit too much. You know, regular guy, seems to be a rather simple guy, he's enjoying the davening way too much. So, since I'm tall, sometimes I have an advantage. So I kind of look over to see, like, what's this guy, davening? What's he praying from? And I look, and he's finished his davening, finished, you know, his Shmoneh Esrei, whatever it was, and then he's looking at some whatever, you know, news or email, whatever it was. And it was such, I was like, really? I mean, come on, we're praying here, we're in shul, and here you have this guy, totally uninterested, being Yotzei, coming to davening, giving himself a pat on the back for coming to davening, which I also commend, and there are people that don't. So, you know, he definitely has one above, but if you're there anyway, and then he goes and he involves himself in other things. So I'm thinking, like, well, what is he missing? Open the floor for literally 30 seconds. What is this guy missing? Oaken, right?
Yeah.
What's he missing?
Kavana.
What do you mean by that? Let's elaborate.
Just, it's kind of fun to, like, pray to God and then just, like, do something else. Like, it's Shacharit and Minchama, like, time you set aside to pray to God and to be doing other things. It just seems like you're not showing any interest in it.
Good. So, so the point is, you know, the lack of Kavana, or just put a little bit into regular terms, a lack of interest. You know, he's a guy, he's an older man, he's probably from the old generation where he grew up, and this is what his father did, and now this is what he does. But really speaking to Hashem, really looking at Hashem as his father, I don't know. It's a little bit hard to believe that he really feels like that on a daily basis. I pray and I doubt that maybe he does, or maybe he will, so maybe I was not judging properly, but it's a little bit difficult to think that way. Anyway, I was talking about the guys in my shiur about an interesting article I literally read about 4 or 5 days ago about Steve Jobs. There was an interviewer, somebody, Steve Jobs called this interviewer, the reporter gave a bad rap on the iPad when it first came out. And Steve Jobs wanted to get this guy good. He was a reporter for the New York Times, and the guy came out with a bad report against the iPad. Steve Jobs was out to get him. I love the show. He was out to get him. And he goes and he calls this reporter and he starts saying, how could you say this about this? It's such a great device, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's getting really flustered. He's honored that Steve Jobs calls him. But, you know, he's getting a little bit flustered. He's feeling, you know, hot around the collars. He wants to quickly change the subject. So he calls, he says to Mr. Jobs, he says, Mr. Jobs, it must be that in your house, Your house must be flowing with iPads. You must have tiled floors with iPads, and the table must be one big iPad where you can, you know, press on the buttons and everything comes up. And all your kids must have iPads and use them all the time. So he stops and he says, no, that's not true. No, my kids, maybe they do have iPads, but I'll tell you something. They cannot use it whenever they want. And you know what, even more? When we're sitting at the table for dinner, there is not one person, including myself, that has a phone or any technological device on them at the meal. When I'm with my kids, I'm with my kids. And when my kids are with me, they're with me and nothing else. And the guy was flabbergasted, I guess. He couldn't believe it. So what do you mean? You know, I would say, you, out of all people, your kids would just be on it 24/7. He says, no, I would never do that to my kids. When they're with me, when they're with their father, they're alone with their father. And when I'm with them, I'm alone with them. That's what tefillah is. Tefillah is the time that we literally put our minds at ease. We have nothing else in the world is speaking to us except for the fact we're alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tefillah, this is what the Rambam is, a Mefurish Rambam really. Steve Jobs is Machavein to a Rambam. The Rambam says that when a person Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Dal Halacha Tet Zayin, a person needs to rid himself of all thoughts and concerns. And he has to see himself as standing in front of the Shechina, says the Rambam. When a person is going about to daven, he's about to pray, he's getting ready, he has to think of himself that right now I'm standing in front of the Shechina. Therefore, it behooves us, the Rambam says, it behooves us, as far as bring down, that we have to prepare ourselves for that. You're going and speaking to the Shechina himself, you're spending time with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that requires preparation. So Shimshon Pinkas Zatzal has a beautiful, beautiful Eitzah, advice. How do we feel like that? I mean, come on, we don't see the Shechina. It's very hard for us to feel the Shechina. So how do we fulfill this Rambam where we're actually going and we're speaking to Shechina, we're feeling with one, we're in a little corner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do we feel that? So it says it's very hard to do, Shmuel says. But maybe an Eitzah would be, if before we're about to say Shmona Esrei, or before we're about to come to pray, we can envision that there's a holy rabbi that's standing in front of us, that we know, or that we've seen pictures, or we've heard of. Right, Rav Avadi Yosef Zatzal, for all you Sfarim out there, you could think, or for anybody, you could think that the Maran is right in front of us. I'm speaking to Maran, I'm speaking to Rav Avadi, or whoever it may be, a great rabbi that you know, a rabbi in your community, whatever it is, and you kind of think of what would it be if I was speaking to him? And then you can come in front of a Kaddish Baruch. That's really the Gemara says that we should feel the fear of Hashem like we feel by a mere Basar Adam, a regular king. And that's how we should be looking at our davening. Maybe picturing that there's really somebody that we're speaking to. It might help. There was once, I'll tell you a story, there was once a man, a secular Jew, who walked into a yeshiva in Israel, in a place called Kfar Hasidim. And he happened to have walked in, he didn't realize, he happened to have walked in during Shachar. And he sees everybody praying, and he walks out. And somebody asks him, what did you see when you walked into this place? When you walked into this room, what did you see? He said, I saw people praying. He said, yeah? He said, yeah, I saw people davening, so I saw people praying. Except for one person. There was one older gentleman out there who was standing all the way in the front, and he had this table, shtender, in front of him. He wasn't davening.
Really?
No, he wasn't davening. So, guys, what was he doing? So, he was talking to somebody. Everybody else was davening, but this old man was talking. What does that mean? This old man was none other than the Rosh Hashiva of Eliyahu Lapian, one of the Musar masters. He was, this secular man saw that no, he was talking. He wasn't praying, he wasn't davening, he was talking. There was nobody in front of him, but he was talking to the Shechina. This is what the Rambam is talking about. It's a maso matan, it's a back and forth, it's a conversation. It's not praying where I go and I can just, you know, check it off. Okay, I came for Shacharit. Okay, I came for Mincha. And I can tell Rabbi Amale that I was here. I don't have to worry. I'll show up just for the Yom. I'll come. No, this is a conversation that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to have with us. And that's what Rabbi Eliyahu Lapyan understood. And that's what he worked on to the point where somebody who's completely not connected to tefillah can recognize that there's a difference between this one old elderly man and everybody else. This one elderly man understood that there's a conversation to be had with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not just a tefillah, but it's a conversation. Yes. Good. So Ofek is asking if it's a conversation, so let's have the conversation. What do I need? What do I need for anybody chazal? What do I need a sitter for? Let me go and I'll speak my mind. So we'll address that in a few minutes, okay? Remind me if I don't address it, but we're gonna address it in a few minutes. But this understanding that we're having a conversation, I really feel that this is what we're missing in our lives. And really, there's a halacha. The halacha is, says in Gemara, the Chazal, Shulchan Aruch says as follows, that it's in us to be mafsik in tefillah. If you're davening Shmona Esrei, you are not allowed to put a break in your tefillah. Okay, you can't have another conversation with somebody else. You can't start thinking or have a time too much of a time lapse. Otherwise, your Shmona Esrei is invalid. Why? Maybe we can understand that according to this Rambam, according to the stories of Eliyahu Lapyan, maybe we can understand what that means. If we have a break, that means that we're having a break in our conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That means that we don't feel that it's important, or that we are even having a conversation. What would happen to you if we were having a conversation with a king? And the king wanted to speak to us, and he called us in privately. And then we go, and in the middle of the conversation, we start talking to somebody else. That's how Chazal recognized davening. Tefillah is really, literally a conversation with our Father. And so much so that if a person is mafsik, if he puts a break in it, so then the conversation's over. Just like a king would go and he would kill the person for breaking the middle of the conversation, so it would be by us. That's why the halacha dictates that a person is not allowed to be mafsik, is not allowed to place a break in his tefillah. Because you're literally having a time with the Kadosh Baruch Hu alone. Not only that, but sometimes we don't even recognize the koach, the power of the tefillah we have. The Shulchan Aruch has a beautiful psak, very strange psak. And it says as follows, I'll read it to you inside, I wrote it down. Lo yasiach sichat chulim b'shah sh'shliyat tzibur kozeh tefillah. A person is not allowed to speak about mundane matters or anything for that matter during tefillah, specifically chazarat hashatz. Listen to this. V'im husach, if he talks, hu chodeh. He's a sinner. V'gadol avonu min tzov. And his sin is too great to bear. The sin is too great to bear. God alav no min so. What does that mean? What does that mean? God alav no min so. Where do we find that in Sefer Bereishis? Anybody know? God alav no min so. Bereishis. No one? No takers? They call my 7-year-old son here. My 7-year-old son knows all the Sefer Bereishis Baal Peh. God will have a number of soul. Huh? No, right after that. Cain and Hevel. Right? Cain kills Hevel. He feels really bad about it. And he says, God will have a number of soul. My sin is too great to bear. So it's a little strange that the Shulchan Aruch comes and he uses these words as a definition of what a person is doing when he's speaking in the middle of davening. I mean, come on, that's a little harsh. You're basically equating killing somebody, God love and omen is so, Cain killing Hevel, to that of somebody speaking in the middle of tefillah, Chazar Tashatz, specifically. What's the connection? So, the Svarim bring down, I saw a beautiful thing in Rav Moshe Wolfson's Sefer, a recent Sefer that came out, it says a beautiful pshat. So the pshat is as follows. Why is it so bad that you're talking during davening? Why is it so bad? Because when we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have tefillah, we're literally building the world, we're securing the world. And when we daven, when we pray to Hashem, and we say, let's say, Sim Shalom, right, at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, we're davening for peace, we're saying, O Bonei Yerushalayim, or Rifaheinu, and we don't do it with Kavanah, or we speak in the middle of that Chazarat Hashatz, so we're breaking that ability to build the world. We're making a disconnect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, where I had the opportunity to daven, to pray, or to say Amen, which is really praying myself. When I'm saying Rifaenu, this person in the hospital, who Rahman al-Aslan has cancer or something like that, and I could have just saved him right now. If I would have had Kavana, I don't know this, but if I would have had Kavana, I would have had an effect on this guy, and I don't. And I made that break, I made that hefsek, and I spoke to my friend instead. Or I looked at my phone instead, I made that break. God love no me so. You all killed him. We don't know that, but that's how Chazal looked at this. They looked at our time with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, time with our Father. You have the ability to do anything. You're speaking to him just like when you speak to your father and you ask him for something sincerely. It's extremely difficult, I know, as a father to say no. Especially if it's something good, then you'll never say no to him. We have that opportunity, we break it. That's an opportunity that's lost. I possibly killed somebody. Either he didn't get better, or there could have been peace in a certain area, country, whatever it is. Our kochos are so great, and I lost that opportunity. God Allah benom minasom. It's a tremendous burden upon us, but a tremendous opportunity.
So how come we frown upon checking email during davening, but looking at a safer is totally okay?
It's not totally okay. Not,
we were encouraged to do it over Rosh Hashanah after Shmoneh Esrei.
That's because you're waiting. You're waiting for everybody to.
But you're still in the middle of the conversation with God. It's different.
No. You're finished with Shmoneh Esrei. So the pamphlet was because they wait 20 minutes, let's say, for Shmoneh Esrei. They give everybody 20 minutes to say Shmoneh Esrei, right?
Right.
So now let's say I would be finished after 5 minutes. So it's 15 minutes of empty time, right? Because I finished my Shmoneh Esrei, and I have to wait 15 minutes until Chazar Hashatz, until the Chazan starts, right? So it was meant for that 15-minute break. You should.
But is that a break, or is that still your part? You're still.
No, that's a break. No, you took 3 steps back, right? We're going to discuss this also. You took your 3 steps back. That means that you finished your conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, we're going to wait for the communal conversation with the Hashem. We'll all get together. Chazar Hashat, where the Chazan is leading for everybody together. And that's going to be a communal prayer to Hashem. And that you're waiting for.
So then if it wasn't young, just could you check your phone during that time period?
I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend bringing your phone into to davening, but that's already too much to ask. Yeah.
Does reading the English in Shmoneh Esrei while you're davening count as a hesek?
No.
Would you say the Hebrew paragraph and you look over to the left and read the English paragraph?
No, not at all. Actually, Mishnah Berurah gives a psak that if a person, let's say he forgot Yalav Yavo, right? And he doesn't know what to do. Mishnah Berurah, if I remember correctly, says that you're actually allowed to go and look in the sefer to see what the halacha is and then come right back. Even in the middle, that's a very, very specific scenario. But you want to help yourself understand what you're saying to Hashem. So okay, that's not a hesek. But to say that the idea is an unbelievable idea. How much power that we have that the Shulchan Aruch says, "God love and only the soul." God love and only the soul. That it's so great that we have such an opportunity, and if we squander that opportunity. It's a tremendous achrayut that we have for the entire tzibur. Okay. With that, I'd like to discuss the following. A little bit to touch what you guys were talking about. There's an order of shacharis. And when we stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we're saying, Dad, I want X, Y, and Z, there's a way to do it. And Shmoneh Esrei specifically is that climax. Shmoneh Esrei, we're literally with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by ourselves. It's just me and him, and he's listening to me. But there's an order. We have to understand how we get there. How do we speak to him? How do we get his attention? First of all, we have to understand how great he is. You can't just go to the President of the United States and think that he's some schmendrick that you have nothing to really do. You have to understand who you're going to in order to know what to ask for. Right? How are you going to know what to ask for if you don't know he can provide? First, I need to know that he can provide. So what do? I say Pesukei DeZimran. And I say all of these Pesukei from David HaMelech. We're saying how great a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. How much he can do, how he created the world. And then so, wow, I'm about to speak to somebody really great. I better remember what I need to say. And then I go and I say, oh, you can create the luminaries in the Birchot Kriyat Shema. And then I go to Shema where I say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that I'm uniting myself with you. I'm totally with you. You say in Shema, I'm totally with you. And then I can take 3 steps forward and I can say, now we're by ourselves. I know who you are. I've said, I understand how much you can do. I'm ma'achid. I make myself one with you, and now I'm going to ask. Now I'm going to ask for whatever I need. But it's a ladder. It's a sulam. It's literally rung after rung until I can get to the top. And that's why it's taken very seriously if you come late, because you miss that opportunity. You're going running into say Shema and Shemona Esrei, but wait a second, how do you know who you're talking to? First thing, you got to understand who you're talking to, and then you say Shema, and then I can come into and I can speak to you privately. But if I miss those steps, so then it's cheapening my private time alone. Yeah.
We said before that, you know, we have our individual time with God, and then after there's that break, and then we wait for the communal conversation.
Yeah.
So if a major part of that is individual meeting with God, then why can't we just do that on my own?
Do what on your own?
I can just daven by myself.
Yes, you do. Okay, that's Rabbi Ifrit's shir. I want to speak about that, but I don't have time. And if you don't go to that shir, I'll speak to you afterwards. There's an idea that the Gemara tells us that a Kadosh Baruch Hu never turns away the tefillah of a rabbim, of a tzibur. When a whole tzibur gets together, there's a lot of chashivut of importance to that. So we want to add that into our davening, so we have that tefillah and tzibur aspect of Chazat HaShatz. Yeah.
I understand like God is great and everything, and his powers are infinite and unlimited, but how am I supposed to feel when I'm having my time with God and I look next to me and there's 40 other people having their time with God? It's just, as a human being, it just doesn't feel as personal.
If you take a candle, right? Take a candle. And everybody in this room takes a candle takes their own candle, and they put it towards the candle that's already lit in the middle. Yeah? Is that candle any less? Does that lose its ability to...
No, there's no personal relationship there.
I'm saying the idea is that it doesn't, just because other people are also asking for more, paying attention, it doesn't take away from his energy. Right? It is something spiritual, 100%. It's hard to imagine. This is why it takes work. It's hard to imagine that we're doing something, right? Doing something so spiritual. This is what Yaakov Avinu couldn't believe. And I believe this is why it's called a sulam. Why in Sefer Bereishis, when Yaakov goes, right, and he says sulam mutzav arzav roshem magiel shamayma. What does he say? He says he can't believe it. He says there's a ladder, which I believe maybe we can understand based on this shtickle over here, where it's a ladder moving up to Shemona Esrei, where that's tefillah. He couldn't believe that the sulam mutzav arzav, that's on the arz, it's on the ground, the rosh magiel shamayma, that you're able to get all the way up there, even though we're down here. We could connect them all the way up here, even though we're down. He couldn't believe the opportunity that he had, the opportunity that we had. And that's why he came back and he wanted to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the Makom HaMikdash. Because it was such an unbelievable opportunity. It's an opportunity that we all have, 3 times a day, where we could literally connect, despite the fact that we're in this ground, in this world, a Rosh HaMagia HaShemayim, is that we could go all the way up and we could connect to something completely spiritual. And like you're saying, every single person could do it even at the same time. And millions of people could do it together. And it still means something. And that also, that's also the reason why when we come into tefillah, there's a way that we dress. Because we're about to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only is he our father, but he's also a king. He's also a melech who's able to do whatever he wants, whatever he wants. We just need to ask for it. We have to come in a certain way. So we have halachot. And we have to put on tefillin. And if you're Sephardi, which makes actually a lot of sense, I'm still not sure why Ashkenazim don't do it, but you put on talit gadol. Why do we do this? Because we're dressing appropriately, we're dressing in the spiritual garb that we need in order to address something so holy like a Kodesh Baruch Hu that we can ask for him. First, you have to dress properly. And that's why they even have more halachot of how a person dresses. You wear a jacket, or wear a jacket, or wearing something nice. And you go in with your father, and you speak to him, and you say, Tati, Daddy, I need this X, Y. But you have to go in. You don't look like a shlump when you come in. You don't look like a mess. You wear a talis and you wear a tefillin and you come in, and then now you can ask from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And this is what, yeah, Schwartz.
Yeah, I have a cool question
too. Yeah.
But if he's a king, but he's also our father, wouldn't a king be lenient to a prince that comes in wearing shlumpy clothes, so to speak? Like, he's still your father, the king.
Yeah, therefore what?
So I'm saying, like, therefore, if you go in, like, wearing, if you're dominant wearing shorts and a t-shirt, I don't think, like, since we're
your father wouldn't care?
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Okay, I'm coming from the Zohar. The Zohar brings this down. This is the reason why we're at the Talis and Tefillin. It's because it says when it comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it's a dichotomy. Yes, we have to look at him that he's our father, and therefore we can ask him for whatever we want. But we also have to understand that if your father was the king, you wouldn't go in shorts and a t-shirt. Even though he's your father. You might. You also drive in there and run everybody down on the way there. But there's a dichotomy, it's two things, yeah.
If that's so, why don't we wear talis and tefillin and put on our airplane?
Because it's not something that on our level we can necessarily handle. But Marv is a better question.
That's
a night. Meaning, we're not trusted so much that we could have pure thoughts the whole time. And then in the days of old, they were still on the whole day.
So why not take it off and be
free?
Yeah. They say take it off and put it back on?
Yeah.
Good question. I'm not sure. But the point is, the Zohar is telling us is that we have to go in a certain way. And this is how we present ourselves before we come to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why, my friends, the tefillah is called an Amidah. Why it's called Amidah? It's called an Amidah because when you're standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not a burden. It's not something that we have to do. It's something that we want to do. When somebody stands up, it means he's prepared to do something. It's called Amidah. He's preparing himself. He wants to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's preparing, standing up. If he would be sitting down, it'd be like you have a burden on you. Like, I don't really want to be here. I don't really want to be here. So I'm sitting down. But no, in Amidah, that's why Amidah is also Lashon of Nevuah. Is that I'm poised and I'm ready to go. And I stand up after my Shema. After I'm Ma'ached you. I made one with you. So now I'm ready to speak to you. And I'm going to stand up and I'm preparing myself. Two more things. If a person might say, well, I'm not worthy. What's your name again? Ramaz? What?
Jamie.
Jamie said before, like, okay, everybody's doing this. It's, you know, who am I? Any more than better than the next guy to be speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a good point. But I feel that if we understand possibly, we go in the right frame of mind, then maybe we can understand this better, we can answer this question, how it's possible we could all go in. There was once a Talmid Chacham, it's a funny story, but it's true, and it really brings a point home. There was once a Talmid Chacham who was in dire financial straits. Not once, because Talmid Chacham are often in dire financial straits. But this guy was specifically in a very bad situation financially. He barely could afford to support his family, let alone pay the rent, and, you know, marry off his children. And he goes to his Rosh Hashiva and he says, I can't do it anymore. I can't afford this. I can't go on like this. So the Rav told him, go to the Kotel HaMaravi, go to the Kotel, and pray to your father. He goes to the Kotel, he's praying to his father in heaven, speaking to Hashem, having a conversation with him. Right? Like Ofek was saying, not necessarily was written in the Siddur, but help me! I need your help. I can't do this without you. And he's praying at the Kotel, and he gets a tap on the shoulder. And he turns around, and there's a distinguished looking man comes over to him. And he says, maybe you can help me. I came here for a week vacation, and I promised myself that I would give $100,000 to Tzedakah. All the Syrians are here are like, okay, what's the big deal? $100,000 I wanted to give to Tzedakah, but it happens to be that I got very caught up in business, and I have to catch my plane. I have to catch my plane, and I got to be out of here. Do you know anybody that could use this money? So the guy says, yeah, I happen to know somebody. He says, great. So the Talmud Chacham took some of the money that he needed, and he distributed the rest of it to the Tzedakah. When his friends heard about this, they couldn't believe it. He had a conversation where he goes to the Kotel, it's a nice. He goes to the Kotel, and he gets 100 G's right there, unbelievable. 100,000 G's right there, unbelievable. And all his friends says, you know what? I'm going to do that too. I also need some money. And they go, they run to the Kotel Maravi, and they start davening, they start praying. They say, please, I need help. And you know what happened? A guy comes and taps him up on his friend on the shoulder. And he looks, and the guy says, stop it. You have a shekel for me? And the guy was downshine. He goes back to the Rav and he says, how could it be? My friend over there, he goes and he prays at the Kotel and he got $100,000 and he was set. And me, what did I get? A schnorr comes and asks me for a shekel. How could it be? So the Rav says to him, he says, no, you don't understand. Your friend, he went looking for his father. You went looking for a tap on the shoulder. That's the chiluk. That's the difference. If a person goes and he understands that he goes into tefillah and he says, listen, I understand how great Hashem is in Pesukei Zimra. I'm being ma'achid Hashem, making Hashem one. And now I'm prepared to speak to him one-on-one. It's a different davening. And things get done. It's the big yisod. I'm going to end with this. I have to end it short. So good. So the reason is, thank you, the Chazal gave us a siddur. Anshei Knesset Gadol, they came together and they made a siddur. And we have to believe, we have to know, and it's brought down as far that every single word of the siddur was written b'nevuah. And every single word of the siddur has the ability to create tremendous things in the upper spheres, and they decide this is the way how to connect to Kadosh Baruch. That's how we have to do it. It doesn't mean that there are times where we could just go. And even in the Shmoneh Esrei, it has times that you have your personal bakashot in Shema Kolein and Rifa'in. A person has his own personal bakashot. There is time for that. But in order that the Chazal understood how to connect to Hashem and its perfection, and that's how they made the. But just to answer one last thing, how is it that how can I feel able to go in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and ask him, how could it be? Just me? The answer is you have to believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, then you're going to be able to do it. If you believe that you're sincerely going to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and I'm sincerely asking him for something, so then a Kadosh Baruch Hu has an open hand. I'm going to leave you with one last ma'aseh, a beautiful ma'aseh, just to illustrate this point. There was a man whose father was very, very sick. This happened in Yerushalayim, in Bnei Brak. There was a man whose father was very, very sick. And finally, the doctor basically gave up. The diagnosis did not look very grim. It didn't look like he was going to survive. And the son was distraught. The son happened to have worked in Kiruv Rechokim with Balei Tshuva. So he says, what am I going to do? I have nothing to do. The doctors gave up hope. I'm going to drive to Yerushalayim and go to the Kotel. Similar story. And he goes, he says, but this time I'm going to bring with me a minyan of people. And who does he bring with him? 10 people who are not even yet religious. He's working with them to try to make them religious. They're not even religious, they're not even Shomer Shabbat yet. They're not Shomer Kashrut, nothing, barely nothing. And he goes and he gathers these 10 people together and he speaks and he says, listen guys, my father is on his deathbed. It does not look good. The doctors gave up hope. Our only prayer is that if we go and we daven for him, maybe may Hashem have rahman, maybe have pity, and I'll make him, give him refuah shleima. So he gathers these 10 people who are not even religious, and he goes and he brings them to the kota, and he davens for a few, one paragraph of Tehillim. They said, Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Shia Malos, they said, together for 2 minutes. A minyan of people, and they came, they davened there, he got back to Bnei Brak. The doctor said it was a miracle, we don't know what happened, but the stats changed. He says, what time? He says, it was about 4:30, exactly the time they were at the kota. He walked out of the father, walked out of the hospital a few days later. What's pshat? What happened? What's pshat? The reason is because they went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu sincerely. When the son gave that shmuz, that plead for help for those 2 minutes, and everybody believed in it, and they believed in the cause, they went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with that belief, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened his hands, he's his father. Anybody know, everybody here knows that if you go to your father for something that's real, for something that really means something to you, he's happy to do it. And that's exactly what happened. But we have to understand that we're going in front of Hashem every single day, 3 times a day. It's a wonderful opportunity. And it's only going to work, though, if we believe in it. Have a good day. Good.